సో ఇన్ ది సిక్స్త్ శ్లోక శంకరాచార్య రిఫ్యూట్స్ ది అసద్వాత అండ్ ఎస్టాబ్లిష్డ్ సద్వాత. వి సా ఆల్ ది డీటెయిల్స్ ఇన్ ది ప్రీవియస్ వెబినార్. సో ది అసద్వాత హ్యాస్ బీన్ రిఫ్యూటెడ్ అండ్ సద్వాత హ్యాస్ బీన్ ఎస్టాబ్లిష్డ్ ఇన్ ది ప్రీవియస్ శ్లోక. నౌ వి విల్ గో టు ది నెక్స్ట్ శ్లోక, శ్లోక నంబర్ 7. బాల్యాదిష్వపి జాగ్రదాదిషు తథాం సర్వావస్థాస్వపి వ్యావృత్తాస్వనువర్తమానమహిమిత్యంత స్ఫురంతం సదా స్వాత్మానం ప్రకటీకరోతి భజతాం యో ముద్రయా భద్రయా తస్మై శ్రీగురుమూర్తయే నమ ఇదం శ్రీదక్షిణామూర్తయే. సో ఇన్ దిస్ శ్లోక శంకరాచార్య ఈస్ రీస్టేటింగ్ ది ఆత్మస్వరూపం. వి హ్యావ్ బీన్ టోల్డ్ దట్ ఆత్మ ఈస్ నాట్ దేహ ప్రాణ ఇంద్రియాణి బుద్ధి అండ్ శూన్యం. వి హ్యావ్ రిఫ్యూటెడ్ ఆల్ ఆఫ్ దమ్ ఎర్లియర్ అండ్ ఆత్మ ఈస్ నాట్ ఎనీ ఆఫ్ దమ్. దెన్ వాట్ ఎగ్జాక్ట్లీ ఈస్ ఆత్మ? దట్ ఈస్ అ క్వశ్చన్ అండ్ దట్ ఈస్ వెరీ బ్యూటిఫుల్ ఈస్ డిస్క్రైబ్డ్ ఇన్ దిస్ శ్లోక. ది ఆచార్య సేస్ స్వాత్మానం. స్వాత్మానం మీన్స్ మై ఓన్ సెల్ఫ్, మై ఓన్ ఎసెన్షియల్ నేచర్ ఆర్ మై ఓన్ రియల్ సెల్ఫ్ ఇస్ ఆత్మ. అండ్ వాట్ ఈస్ ద రియల్ సెల్ఫ్? సదా అంతఃస్ఫురంతం. సదా అంతఃస్ఫురంతం ఆత్మ, ది రియల్ సెల్ఫ్ ఈస్ ఆల్వేస్ ఎక్స్పీరియన్స్డ్ బై మీ. ఇట్ ఈస్ ఎవర్ ఎవిడెంట్ టు మై సెల్ఫ్. స్ఫురంతం, స్ఫురంతం మీన్స్ షైనింగ్ experienced, it is ever evident, recognizable by me, accessible to me. And when is this Atma, this Self is experienced? The Acharya says, Sada Spurantam, it is experienced ever, all the time. And where it is experienced? Antaspurantaha, within the body-mind complex, Antaha, within the body-mind complex, it is ever experienced. And how do we refer to this experience at all? Every experience is identified through an expression. When we experience something, we identify the experience through an expression. When I experience this object, I use an expression to reveal the experience. For example, this book, this is book, this is a table. And this ever experienced Atma is referred to by me as Aham, Aham Iti. That is how we express our experience of Atma as Aham, in the form of I am, which is there continuously, which is there all the time. Throughout the waking stage, I am is continuous. And that is why at the end of the class also, for the webinar also, for example, if you meet someone and they ask you, where were you? And you will say, I was in the webinar. So if you are referring to I, as I was listening, I was in the webinar, then the I am is experienced at the time of the webinar also. Otherwise, you cannot say that I was in the webinar. I am. That continues all the time. So throughout the waking stage, the Atma is experienced as I am. Throughout the waking stage. During the dream state, also it continues as I am, and even in deep sleep state, in Sushupti also, I am, that I am continues. So only we don't verbalize during sleep, but that experience is verbalized after we wake up. I had a good sleep, I was sleeping, that means I was, that was there, I am is there, has been there continuous through all stages. I am experience is present in sleep, but is verbalized when, or vocalized when we wake up. So verbalization is only later, but experience is there even during sleep. And this continuously experienced I am, is Atma. That's what he says. So from this Shankaracharya, he conveys a very, very important point also. The Atma experience or Atma Anubhava is continuously present for every person all the time. And therefore, we should remember that Atmanubhava is not a particular experience happening at a particular time. Atmanubhava is not a particular event in time. We cannot say, I had Atmanubhava in meditation. You know, people say all that kind of thing. I was in meditation, so I had Atmanubhava. Then you are making Atmanubhava an event in time. Shankaracharya, he negates that by using the word sada. He uses the word sada in this shloka. And so, he does not require a process to make it an event in time. An event in time even happens because of an effort or a process. Then only an event in time can happen. For example, our webinar is an event in time. It requires lot of processes, lot of efforts to make this event happen. Not only I should put forward effort, you should also put forward effort. And as a result of this joint effort, this event, this webinar happens. Shankaracharya says, Atmanubhava is not an event which happens in time through a process or through some effort of any individual or any group. So we should never say that I am working for Atmanubhava. If somebody says I am working for Atmanubhava, that itself is a wrong statement. To make that statement is to declare I have not studied Vedanta. Shravanam is not done properly. That's what it means. So the one who studied properly knows that Atmanubhava is a continuous process. And not only that, Atmanubhava is ever experienced in the body-mind complex as what? As I am. Aham iti. Aham iti means I am. So this is one explanation of Atma. And what is the next explanation? The Acharya says, Anuvartamanam. And this ever-experienced Atma is Anuvartamanam, continuously present. Anuvrat. Anuvrat means what? To be continuously present, to permeate, to inform. When? In and through. So, Vyavrittasu Avastasu. Vyavrittasu Avartasu, all the discontinuous Avastas. Vyavrittasu means all discontinuous. Atma is ever experienced. It is continuously present in and through what? Vyavrittasu avastasu. Vyavrittam means discontinuous. And anuvrittam means continuous. Vyavrittam means discontinuous. And avastha. Avastha is avastha. We'll see avastha a little bit later. And atma is continuously present in and through the discontinuous avasthas. So the word avastha, now we'll understand what it is. If we take the life as a whole of any person, the word avastha means the stages of life. When we say avastha, if you take the entire life of a person as a whole, it is the stages of life. And they are classified as four in our shastras. And what are those four? Brahmacharya avastha, balya avastha, kaumaram, yavanam, and vardakyam. Or balyavastha is called childhood, kaumaram is boyhood or youthhood, yavanam is youth, and vardakyam is old. All these four stages. So four avasthas are given. So balyadishu avasthasu. In the shloka, if you see first line, balyadishu avasthasu. In and through the four discontinuous stages of life, like childhood, etc., atma is continuously present. How? I am a child, I am a boy, I am a youth, I am old. So when child was used, when we used the word child, the boy word was not there. When I use the word boy, the youth word is not there. So the child, boy, youth, old, all these four, are they anuvrittam or vyavrittam? If you really ask, they are all vyavrittam only. They are mutually exclusive, discontinuous stages of life. But even though the stages are mutually exclusive, they are discontinuous, what is continuous in and through all of them? I am, I am, I am, I am a boy, I am a youth, I am old. That I am is continuous. That I am refers to the Atma. And not only these four stages of life, instead of taking, for example, the whole life, if you take a particular day of life, we don't have to take the whole life, take a particular day of life, in the context of a day, the avasthas are called the various states of experience. And they are classified into three. We already know Jagrat Avastha, Swapna Avastha, and Sushupti Avastha. So if you take the whole life, there are four stages. And if you take a day, there are three stages. Both these stages are called avasthas. So one takes, for example, a segment of life, it's called a lake day. Another takes the whole life. And what are the three states of experience? Shankaracharya says, Jagradadishu avasthasu, states of experience, Jagrat and the other, Jagrat, Swapna, Sushupti. So there also, I am waker, I am dreamer, I am sleeper. So wakerhood, dreamerhood and sleeperhood, are they vyavrittam or anuvrittam? Again, they are discontinuous only, they are vyavrittam. So that means they are mutually exclusive and discontinuous states. When I am awake, I am not sleeping. When I am awake, I am not dreaming. But in and through the discontinuous states, what is common? I am. That is common. So that continuous I am experience is called Atmanubhava. That is called Atmanubhava. So when we said Balyadishu Avastasu, we translated it as what? Balyadishu Apim. Jagradadishu tata sarvasu avasthasu. And even if you want to talk about any other avastha also, not restricted only to these avasthas, for example, poverty, richness, healthy condition, sick condition, brahmachari, grahasthashrama, any of these avasthas also, any number of avasthas can be there. So in addition to these common three or four avasthas, we can have any number of avasthas. So, for example, if you take the horoscope, they call it as a dasha, guru dasha, shukra dasha, all those things they say. So, in Sanskrit, the word dasha means also avastha only. And the avasthas are variable and I am invariable. Avasthas are variable. And the invariable I am is the Atma, which is ever experienced. Now, this I am is experienced all the time by me. But when I introduce myself to others, what do I say? I don't introduce myself merely as I am. When somebody asks you, who are you or what are you, you don't say just only I am. You follow it with something else. Even though I am is my real nature, that Atma, when I introduce to others, I don't merely introduce as I am, but I always add an attribute relevant to the avastha. What is that? For example, if I am young, I say I am young. That young attribute is added to I am. Later, I am middle-aged. I am old. So, a relevant attribute is added. I am waker. I am dreamer. I am angry. Now, I am sympathetic. All those things are attributes. So, angry, sympathetic, young, old are attributes added to I am. Now the question is what? Are the added attributes, are they continuous or discontinuous? Are they anuvrittam or vyavrittam? If you analyze again, the attribute added I, the attributes, all the attributes added to the I am are also mutually exclusive and discontinuous. Because when angry attribute was there, the sympathetic attribute was missing. And vice versa. So when young attribute was there, old attribute was not there. And again vice versa. Similarly, waker attribute cannot coexist with dreamer or sleeper attribute. So attributes are also vyavrittam only. So they are not the anuvritta I am, but they are all attributes are vyavrittas. So Atma is defined as the continuous I am. And we cannot include the discontinuous attributes to the continuous I am. So if you exclude all the discontinuous, mutually exclusive attributes, the attribute-less I am is Atma. So you should say, I am. That then so many attributes will come. I am old, sick, angry, rich, everything will come. But you should say, I am. Whatever attributes arise in your mind, you should very deliberately exclude them all. And that attribute-less I am is called Atma. That's what Acharya says. So if you include the attributes, then that I am, inclusive of the attributes, is called Ahankara. So all attributes, when they are included in that I am, that is called Ahankara. The moment we exclude the attributes, then it is I am, Atma. The I refers to the conscious principle. In I am, the I refers to the conscious principle, and am refers to the existence principle. So consciousness is continuous, existence is continuous. That continuous chit, sat, we already are familiar with all these. Consciousness is chit and existence is sat. The continuous chit, sat, I am, without including the anger, the frustration, jealousy, all those attributes. So this exclusion of attributes and seeing the ever-experienced continuous I am as Atma, that is called Atma Jnanam. To be able to see that is called Atma Jnanam. And therefore, Atma Jnanam is not a new experience. This is where we are driving it at. We should not think that Atma Jnanam is going to come to me someday. It is not an event in time. It is continuously present. But it is a new perception though. The ever-experienced I, excluding the attributes, it is not a new experience, but a new perception of the ever-experienced I am. The same thing only, but what have I done in the process? When I say it's a new perception, what have I done in the process? Whatever attributes were included earlier, I have only excluded them. So a reclassification of available experience only. I have never worked on a new experience at all. I have only done a reclassification of the available experience all the time to me. I am is an eternally available experience. Anger is an available experience. Through Vedantic learning, I never worked for a new experience at all. The teacher has trained me only in a reclassification. And what is that? When we said anger earlier, I have classified along with I am. After Vedanta, what I am doing now? After Vedanta also, now not a new experience now, after Vedanta also, I am, that continues. Emotions come in the mind because mind is meant for emotion. Anger is an emotion. But what has taken place, instead of emotions joining I am as an attribute, emotions are separated from I am. So it is a new classification based on a new perception. There is no question of a new experience because Atma is never experienced. Emotions are also they are experienced. Atma is also it's ever experienced. We have only segregated the Atma and the attributes. And this Atma, that is this attribute separated Atma, Prakati Karoti, is taught by the Guru. So what the Guru teaches? He teaches us this Atma Tattvam separated from the attributes. Guru does not give you a new experience. He does not ask the disciple to work for a new experience at all. He teaches the student only to reshuffle, reclassify the available experience. You say, I am, but don't include angry as an attribute to that. Name dvesha ragav, name moga lobav, mato naiva me naiva matsariya bhavaha, na dharmo na charto, na kamo na mokshaha, chidananda rupaha, shivoham, shivoham. That's what Acharya said. Include the attribute, I am the empirical Ahankara. Exclude the attribute, I am the absolute Atma. That should be the understanding. And so, the difference between Ahankara and Atma is only in my reclassified perception. In my reclassified perception only, the difference is there. That is why we say that Atmajnanam is a cognitive change. Actually, in the last webinar, we mentioned this. Atmajnanam is a cognitive change, a perspective change with respect to myself. For example, just as a girl is there, before marriage, she is seen in a particular perspective. After marriage, minutes after the marriage, the girl's height, weight, etc., they all remain the same. But the perception is different. The perspective has changed. It is not an external change, but an internal change. The change in the mind. In Atmajnanam, there is a perspective change with respect to what I am. The moment I learn to exclude all attributes like anger, jealousy, hatred, emotions, etc., I can happily claim I am Brahman. I won't say I am angry or jealousy or any of those. I will say I am Brahman. I will own up my Brahmanhood. It is not a new experience. Inclusive of attributes, I am Ahankara. And so I cannot claim Brahmanhood at all. But exclusive of attributes, as Aham, I can claim I am Brahman. I have not become Brahman. We have to be very careful. I have not become Brahman. I have owned up my Brahmanhood. But I claim the Brahman that I was, I am, and I ever will be. And it is the new perspective which is the teaching of the Guru. Guru only teaches this new perspective only. So Shankaracharya says, Swatmanam, the attributeless I, this reclassified I, the Guru Prakati Karoti. He reveals, he teaches, he instructs. So the Guru teaches only this. To whom? Bhajatam. To the seekers who are willing for the new look I. No change in the I, but the look is different. But the look or the new perspective. Prakati Karoti Bhajatam. Bhajatam means Shishyana, the seekers. And how does he reveal? He reveals it by two methods. We saw this also earlier. One is by verbal communication, and the second one is non-verbal communication. Through both, the teacher reveals. All the body, gesture, or all, they all belong to what? Non-verbal communication. Now it is becoming actually a very big science now. All the body language, everything. So when people make some presentations and all, people observe the body language. Actually, Dakshinamurti Stotram communicates by both methods, by the verbal communication and non-verbal communication. That non-verbal communication, that is called Bhadraya Mudraya. Bhadraya Mudraya refers to the non-verbal communication. If you look at the sloka, Bhadra, Bhadra refers to auspiciousness. Bhadram, Bhadram Karne Bihi Shrunuyama Devaha. That Bhadram, Bhadra refers to auspiciousness. And Mudra, Mudra is hand gesture, Chin Mudra. So, through the auspicious hand gesture called the Chinmudra, actually we have seen Chinmudra in the beginning itself. Karakalita Chinmudra Mananda Rupam Swatmarama Mudidavadanam Dakshinamurti Mide. We already saw that shloka earlier. We saw in the Maunavyakya that's Jnana Shloka. So, there we saw the Chinmudra, the teacher only what the teacher did? He only reclassified the fingers. Before also, we see five fingers only. Everybody has five fingers. So before knowing Chinmudra, we still see the five fingers. After learning Chinmudra also, we see the same five fingers. No new experience I am giving, but I am only giving the same five finger experience in a reclassified form. And what is the reclassified form? This index finger, I am finger. Joining the sthula, sukshma, karana shariras, all the three attributes. So what I am saying is, separate the three attributes. From this I am, separate these three attributes because they belong to the anatma. The sthula, sukshma, karana shariram, they belong to anatma, they are not the shariri. And once I separate the I am, then it can touch the thumb, which represents absolute Brahmanhood. So the relative I itself is the absolute I when it is freed from the three attributes. The relative I
that itself becomes the absolute I when it is freed from these three fingers. So I plus attributes is relative I or Ahankara. I minus attributes is absolute I or Atma. So Swami Chinmayananda, actually he says this index finger, he gives it like a jocular thing, because this index finger, he calls it like a Muslim I, married to three wives and suffering from samsara. And what do you do? Divorce is the easiest job in their culture, it looks. You have to say talak. The moment you say talak, the stura sharir. So talak stura shariram. Stura sharam is gone. Talak sushma shariram. Talak sharna shariram. All three things are gone. So then you are back to non-householder I, free I, Vedantically. So badraya mudraya swatmanam prakati karoti. Tasmai. Tasmai means to that guru who teaches me the knowledge of the attributeless I, and to have a new perspective, not it is a new experience or anything, a new perspective without looking for a new experience. So to that guru, I prostrate. Tasmai Sri Guru Murtaye, Sri Dakshinamurtaye, who is none other than Dakshinamurti, idam namaha, my namaskarams. So that is the seventh shloka. Now let us go to the eighth shloka.
Vishvam pashyati karya karanataya swaswami sambandataha sishyacharyataya tataiva pitruputra dhyatmana betataha swapne jagrati vaya yesha purusho maya paribhramitaha tasmai shri guru murtaye namagidam shri dakshina murtaye.
So when I have a new perspective of I am as the chit sat or the consciousness existence principle I, which is ever experienced and continuous, that I, as long as such a vision I have, I am the absolute Atma, because which is ever free. But the moment I lose sight of this attributeless I, because of the power of what? Because of the power of Maya or Avidya, there arises a confusion or an error. And because of that, I include the attributes to I am, which makes me an empirical Ahankara. And this is the fall of the person from the absolute I to empirical Ahankara I. This is considered the fall of a person. Atma to Ahankara fall. The moment I become empirical Ahankara, then what happens? That is what is described in this shloka. What happens is, I will qualify myself as a waker I or dreamer I. To use actually the Mandukya Upanishad expression, the Thuriyam I has fallen down to Vishwa I or Taijasa I. Actually, all these concepts have been explained in the Tattvabodha lectures. People can refer to those notes. And once I become the relative empirical I cannot avoid relationship with the empirical I. As a waker I will be related to the relevant world, Jagrat Prapancha. Because I am awake, I will be transacting with the world. So I cannot avoid that relationship. As a dreamer I will be related to the Swapna Prapancha, to the dream world. So the Asanga I means the I without any relationship, that absolute I, the Atma, has become the Sasanga I. It has got all the attributes now, relations, everything. So relationless Atma has become related Ahankara. And what all relationships are possible? A few examples are given in this shloka. And what are they? Karya Karana Sambandaha. Karya Karana Sambandaha. First line. As a waker I, an individual in Jagrat Prapancha, I look at myself as a product of my past karma. As a person, I call myself as a Punyavan or Papi. I say, if I suffer, I say, oh, I have done papam. I am a Papi. If I enjoy, I think I am a Punyavan. So I am always worried about my horoscope all the time. all astrological predictions. I look at myself as the product of astrology, Sanchita Karma, Agami Karma, Prarabdha Karma, various planets. They are called Karya, Karana, Sambandha. Karma is the Karanam and I am the Karyam. I am the product. Karma is the Karanam, cause. Actually, Gaudapada, he calls it as Hetu Pala Sambandha. Therefore, I keep on going to all Navagraha temples and all those temples. Do lot of pariharas. So many things I do, so many pujas. All of this, what do they tell? I am the product of my destiny. That's what it says. Whereas the absolute I is the product of what? What product? It is the adhishtanam of the whole universe. It is the support. It is a causeless cause. Vishwam darpana drishyamana nagari tulyam nijantargadam. We already saw that shloka. So that absolute I has become a miserable running after astrologer I. That is called karya karana sambandha. And if you look at actually the third line, yeshaha purusho maya paribhramitaha. This ordinary person in the world who is scripturally illiterate. This person who is scripturally illiterate, even though he may be worldly educated, he may be PhD in this and that. Worldly education is very high perhaps, but scripturally he is illiterate. So maya paribhramitaha. Here maya refers to avidya. And he is confused because of avidya. And so vishvam pashyati. He sees the world. How? As karya karana sambandha. And then what? Instead of taking the original sakshi swarupam of the atma as himself, he mistakes the incidental ahankara as himself because of avidya. And once I am the ahankara, I am going to certainly become a relative individual relative to the external world. So asanga sakshi becomes sasanga jivaha. He was only a witness, asangaha, but he has become sasanga jivaha. Relationless pure sakshi I now fallen down to a relative samsari stage. Every relation causing one form of samsara or the other. All relations are only contributors to samsara. There is no relationship which is free from problem. If there is one, the end of that relationship, because of kala, time, prarabdha, or any reason, it will cause problem. So problem-free relationship does not exist. There is no relationship which is problem-free. So swaswami sambandataha, as ahankara, I am related to several possessions. Another type of relationship is owner-owned. I own these things, I am the owner. I look at a segment of the world, I own a piece of land, small piece of land, it's a small segment of the world as possessed by me. The house is owned and I am the owner and therefore also miserable, trying to own something and to retain things which I own. First you strive to own things and having owned, we strive all the time to keep them. So which is called yoga kshema, misery, which means. So acquisition and maintenance, that is samsara. And then as a guru-sishya sambandha, another relationship, Sishya-acharyataya, that is another sambandha. And also as pitra-putra sambandha, pitra-putra-dhyatmana. So all these relatives, ahankara, they are all born. In which avastha? Swapne-jagrativa. Whether it is in the waking stage or in the dream stage, all these avastas, all these problems come. And so samsara becomes inevitable. And when we get some interval and relief in sushupti, but unfortunately, what happens? We cannot sleep forever. We have to wake up. Prarabdha will push up into waking up. So older we grow, lesser the sleep also. So what do? We disturb the other sleepers. Somebody else is sleeping, we go and ask them, what is the time now? That guy is sleeping. He doesn't sleep well. So sleep is not a permanent solution. Even death is not a permanent solution. Because punarjanma brings again punasambandha. Again relationships are brought again when one takes the breath again and samsara again, back again. So this purushaha, who is really a sakshi, that purushaha, who is the atma, that purushaha, maya paribhramitaha, is confused because of maya or avidya. And Shankaracharya says, beautifully, even this confused jiva is none other than that Dakshinamurti only. And so, now my prostration is to the confused samsari, whose inner essence is nothing but that Dakshinamurti, but he is samsari. So, tasmai Shri Guru Murtaye, to that Guru Murti, the Dakshinamurti, who has now put on the guise of Ahankara. Ishwaro Guruhu Atma Iti Murti Beda Vibhagine. We already saw that. So Dakshinamurti alone is the student. The confused student also is Dakshinamurti. Supposed to be the non-confused teacher also, he is also Dakshinamurti. And of course, the Lord Dakshinamurti. And to that Dakshinamurti, Idam Namaha, my Namaskaras. Shloka 9. What is the time now? It's 9:10. Bhūram vāsyana lo nilombaram ahar nāto himāshu pumāne ithyābhādi charācharātmakamidam yasyaiva mūtyashtakam nānyat kinchana vidyate vimrushatam yasmāt parasmāt vibhoho tasmai śrī guru mūrtaye namayidam śrī dakṣinā mūrtaye. So with the 8th shloka, the actual teaching part of Dakshinamurti Stotram, that is over. With the 8th shloka, the teaching part is over. And that is why this work is called Dakshinamurti Ashtakam. Because with that 8th shloka, the teaching part is over. That means the 8 verses alone are the teaching part, Ashtakam. The last 2 shlokas, they were perhaps added by either Shankaracharya later or some others also perhaps, we don't know. So the last 2 can be called as the concluding verses or the winding up verses, we can call that. So in the 9th shloka, Shankaracharya describes Dakshinamurti as Vishwarupa Ishwaraha. So in our scriptures, the Lord is presented in 3 different levels. First as Ekarupa Ishwaraha, next as Anekarupa Ishwaraha, and as Arupa Ishwaraha. These are 3 different classifications. The Lord is presented. So Ekarupa Ishwara we saw in the actual in the Dhyana Shloka. Chitram Vatataror Mole Vriddha Sishya Gururiva. So there we saw Dakshinamurti as a personal god. That is called Ekarupa Ishwaraha. And in the whole of the Dakshinamurti Ashtakam, we got the description of Dakshinamurti as Nirgunam Brahma. That is Arupa Ishwara. Nirguna Brahma is without Rupam. So, personal God Dakshinamurti we have seen, and the transpersonal Dakshinamurti also we have seen. So, the only one that is left out is what? Dakshinamurti as Vishwarupa Ishwara. Just as Lord Shiva is described in Rudram, in Sri Rudram, as Vishwarupa Ishwara, the Vishwarupa Shiva, Lord Krishna is described in the 11th chapter of Gita as Vishwarupa Krishna. Similarly, Dakshinamurti is described in the 9th shloka as Vishwarupa Dakshinamurti. Facing which direction now? When he is Vishwarupa, there is nothing like a north or south. Normally we say Dakshinamurti is the one who is facing south. But when you are worshipping this Dakshinamurti as Vishwarupa Dakshinamurti, there is nothing, no preferred direction, north or south. So, Vishwatas Chakshuruta, Vishwato Muko, Vishwato Hastavuta, Vishwatas Path. So that is that Dakshinamurti. So Vishwarupa Dakshinamurti Varnanam is the essence of the 9th shloka. The description of the Vishwarupa Dakshinamurti. Here the Vishwarupa, that is the whole creation as Dakshinamurti, that is divided or classified into 8 factors. And these 8 factors are called Ashtamurtayaha. 8 Murtis, 8 factors. Murti is factor or aspect, we can say. And Vishwarupa Dakshinamurti is here presented as Ashtamurti Dakshinamurti or Ashtamurti Rupena. He is presented. And what are those eight factors which constitute the whole universe? There Pancha Bhutani, all the five elements are there. That is the Bhuta Prapanchaha. The sun and the moon are taken as representative of the Baudhika Prapancha, the world which is the modification of the five elements. In English, Bhutams, they are called elements. And Bhautikam is called elemental. For example, the physical body is not any one of the elements, but is a product of all the five elements. Physical body, not any one element, but all product of all five. So, body comes under what? Body comes under Bhautikam. In fact, all the 14 lokas are not of one element, but are a mixture of all five elements. The combination product are called Bhautika Prapancha. Two representatives are taken, the sun and the moon here. And all these seven factors put together, they stand for the inanimate universe. The five elements are Achetanam. The two representative elements are Achetanam. And then the eighth factor is the Chetana Jivaha, who represents all the animate Jivarasis. So, seven Achetanam and one Chetanam. And so, Pancha Bhutani, Suryaha, Chandraha. All these seven, Achetanam and Jivaha, Chetanam, that is put together in the whole cosmos. So, the whole cosmic system is made up of only these eight. We cannot find anything other than these eight. And then Shankaracharya says, this Ashtamurti Dakshinamurti is the Vishwarupa Ishwara. And other than this Ashtamurti Dakshinamurti, there is nothing else. That is what Shankaracharya contends. And to that Dakshinamurti, my namaskara. This is the essence of this shloka. And now let us look at the words. The Ashtamurtis are enumerated first. Bhuraha Ambasi. Bhuraha means earth. Ambasi refers to water. Analaha, fire. Anilaha, air. Ambaram, space. So, up to these five elements, Bhutani. Then, Aharnataha, the lord of the day. Ahaha means day. Aharnataha means the lord of the day. That is sun. And Himamshuhu, Hima means cool. Amshuhu means the rays, the cool rayed one. That is the moon. And so, Surya and Chandra, they stand for the entire Baudhika Prapancha. So, with this, the seven Achetana factors are over. Five elements, Surya and Chandra. Now comes the eighth factor, the Chetana factor. And what is that? Puman. Puman represents all the Jivarasis. From the minutest microorganism to the biggest Brahmaji, Chetana Jivaha, all of them. Iti. Iti means in this way. Characharatmakamidam murtyashtakam. The eightfold factors or facets consist of characharatmakam. Chara, achara, atmakam. Includes both the chara, the moving, chetana, chetana prapancham, as well as the achara. Achara means the achetana, the non-moving prapancha. Both included. So, characharatmakam, atmakam, characharatmakamidam murtyashtakam. Chetana Achetanatmakam Murti Ashtakam, which is the Shariram, the very body of Dakshinamurti. So all these things constitute the very body of Dakshinamurti. It is not only body sitting under a banyan tree, that Dakshinamurti is for worship or an avatara. But the real Dakshinamurti as the very Charachara Prapancha, as the very Murti, the very body. And that is why we name it as Vishwarupaha. In that expression, the word rupam in Vishwarupa means shariram, body. And how do we understand Vishwarupa Ishwara? Vishwam shariram yasyasaha. The Lord whose body is the whole universe. That is Vishwarupa. Since the whole universe is the body of the Lord, wherever I turn, I see what? I see only the Lord alone. So, bhu padav yasya nabihi viyam. So, namami. So, now tell me, which is the difference between Vishwarupa Shiva, Vishwarupa Vishnu and Vishwarupa Dakshinamurti? Since all three include the entire cosmos, there is no difference at all. So that is why we will find the description of Vishwarupa is the same for all the deities. Eka Rupa description will vary from deity to deity, but Vishwarupa description will not vary at all. And so Murti Ashtakam, yes, yeah, Vishwarupa Dakshinamurte. So this is the eightfold form of Vishwarupa Dakshinamurti. And not only that, Parasmad Vibhavo Anyat Kinchana Nasti. There is nothing else in the creation other than or away from this Vishwarupa Dakshinamurti. Anyat Kinchana Nasti. Paramad Vibhavo. Parasmad Vibhavo means Vishwarupa Dakshinamurte refers to that. So Param, Param means absolutely, Vibhu means all-pervading. So Parasmad Vibhavo means the absolutely all-pervading Dakshinamurti. Kinchana Nasti, there is nothing else. So the body part will become the Achetana part of Dakshinamurti. So you do not exist away from Dakshinamurti at all. And so you cannot say God and world. There is no delusion at all. There is a delusion. For example, when we say God and world, that's a delusion. Mistaken God and world and rightly taken world is none other than the God. Because the entire world is God only. Or what is world for the deluded person is the Lord for the wise person. The deluded person thinks of the world as world. Whereas the wise person, he thinks of it as Dakshinamurti. So he says, Vimrishatam. For the thinking people, refined people, or scripturally learned people, literates, there is no world other than Dakshinamurti at all. Tasmai, Sri Guru Murtaye, Sri Dakshinamurtaye, Idam Namaha. To that Dakshinamurti, who happens to be my Guru also, Idam Namaha, this Namaskaram. So for those who have studied the scriptures and who have understood that there is no world other than Dakshinamurti, for them the Vishwarupa is a fact. It has become a fact for them that there is no world other than God. And for those people, this verse can be utilized as a Nididhyasana Shloka, because we have to come back to Vedanta again. For those people, this shloka can be used as Nididhyasana Shloka. So it becomes a reminder. Sarvam Dakshinamurtimayam Jagat. Like Sarvam Vishnumayam Jagat. Sarvam Dakshinamurtimayam Jagat. Sarvam Brahmamayam Jagat. Nothing other than Brahman. Whereas for those people who have not studied and understood Vedanta, this becomes a Vishwarupa Upasana Shloka. For those who have understood Vedanta, this becomes Sarvam Vishnumayam, Sarvam Dakshinamurtimayam Jagat. For those who have not understood, this becomes a Vishwarupa Upasana. It becomes a sadhana, which is Vishwarupa Upasana. And what is the uniqueness of this sadhana? Instead of taking an idol as a symbol of God, he should learn to take the whole universe as Mahashivalinga or Mahashalagrama and worship that. And he should learn to invoke the Lord upon the entire universe. Thus the view, the entire Vishwa or the Jagat, the Ishvara Buddhi, the one who is able to visualize the entire universe as Dakshinamurti. It is like, as you know, revering the river Ganga as goddess. Earth as Prithvi Devata. I should imagine the same universe as Dakshinamurti. So until I understand it, it's as a fact, I should learn to visualize it or imagine it. Until I understand it as a fact. So, if Aham Brahmasmi is not a fact to me, I can learn to imagine that I am Brahman in the initial stages. That is called Ahangriha Upasana. In Vedanta, it is called Ahangriha Upasana. You imagine it as that. Similarly, this shloka for the uninformed people is a sadhana shloka. And the sadhana is what? Vishwarupa Upasana. So, this shloka can be utilized in both the ways. Having presented this is Nididhyasana Upasana, then finally, maybe I can conclude. I will take a few more minutes. The 10th shloka, the Palashruti, is given.
Sarvatmatva mitisputi kritamidam yasmadamushpinstave tenasya sravanat tadartamananat dhyanat chasankirtanat sarvatmatva mahavibhuti sahitam Syadishwaratvam Swataha Siddhetat Punarashtada Parinadam ஐஸ்வர்யம் அவ்யாஹதம்.
ஐ ஹவ் டைப்ட் இட் ராங். இதி இதம் சர்வாத்மத்வம் ஸ்புடீகிருதம். இன் திஸ் மேனர் இதி இதம், இன் திஸ் மேனர், இன் தி நைன் வேர்சஸ், ஆல் தீஸ் நைன் வேர்சஸ், தி சர்வாத்ம பாவா ஆஃப் தட்சிணாமூர்த்தி, விச் இஸ் த எசன்ஸ் ஆஃப் ஆல் தி உபனிஷஸ், ஆல் தி உபனிஷஸ் டாக் அபவுட் ஒன்லி தி சேம் திங், ஹேஸ் பீன் கண்டென்ஸ்ட் பை மீ. ஐ மீன் தி ஆச்சாரியா சேஸ் எசன்ஸ் ஆஃப் பிரஸ்தானத்ரய, வாட் எவர் இஸ் கிவன் இன் ஆல் ஐ ஹவ் கிவன் பிரஸ்தானத்ரய ஆர் வாட் தி உபனிஷஸ், த பிரம்மசூத்ராஸ் அண்ட் த பகவத்கீதா. ஸோ வாட் எவர் இஸ் எசன்ஸ் டாட் இன் தோஸ் பிளேசஸ் இஸ் ஆல் கண்டென்ஸ்டு ஹியர். சர்வாத்மத்வம், சர்வம் ஆத்மா ஏவ, எவ்ரி திங் இன் கிரியேஷன் இஸ் ஆத்மா அலோன், தட் இஸ் வாட் தி என்டையர் கான்செப்ட். அதர் தேன் ஆத்மா தெர் இஸ் நத்திங். ஸோ த சோ கால்ட் அனாத்மா இஸ் மித்யா, விச் ஹேஸ் தி கண்டென்ட் ஆஃப் ஆத்மா அலோன். ஜஸ்ட் அஸ் த சோ கால்ட் ஆர்னமெண்ட்ஸ் ஆர் நாட் சப்ஸ்டன்சஸ் பட் நத்திங் பட் கோல்ட், ஒன்லி வித் டிஃபரெண்ட் நேம்ஸ், நாமா ரூபா அண்ட் கர்மா ஃபங்க்ஷன். சிமிலர்லி தி சோ கால்ட் அனாத்ம பிரபஞ்ச ஆல்சோ இஸ் ஆத்மா ஒன்லி வித் அ டிஃபரெண்ட் நேம். நேம்ஸ் ஆர் டிஃபரெண்ட் பட் த சப்ஸ்டன்ஸ் இஸ் ஒன்லி ஆத்மா. தட்ஸ் வாட் வி ஷுட் அண்டர்ஸ்டாண்ட். அண்ட் திஸ் இஸ் கால்ட் சர்வாத்மத்வம், சர்வம் ஆத்மா இதி பாவஹா. அண்ட் இஃப் யூ வாண்ட் டு புட் இட் இன் அ டிஃபரெண்ட் லாங்குவேஜ், ஜீவாத்ம பரமாத்ம ஐக்கியம், வி கேன் கால் இட், வி கேன் சே தட் வே ஆல்சோ, ஜீவாத்ம பரமாத்ம ஐக்கியம், ஆர் பிரம்ம சத்யம் ஜெகன் மித்யாம் ஜீவோ பிரம்மைவ ந பரம். ஸோ வி கேன் சே இட் தட் வே ஆல்சோ. ஸோ தி வேதாந்திக் எசன்ஸ் ஹேஸ் பீன் டாட் பை மீ. அண்ட் வேர் டிட் ஹீ டீச் இட்? அமுஷ்மின் ஸ்தவே. அமுஷ்மின் ஸ்தவே மீன்ஸ் இன் தி ஸ்தோத்ரம் கால் தட்சிணாமூர்த்தி ஸ்தோத்ரம். ஹியர் ஹீ டஸ் நாட் யூஸ் த வேர்ட் அஷ்டகே பிகாஸ் டூ மோர் இஸ் ஆடட், நோ மோர் அஷ்டகம் எனி மோர், ஸோ டூ மோர் தர் அஷ்டன் ஸ்லோகாஸ். ஸோ ஹி யூசஸ் த வேர்ட் ஸ்தவம், விச் இஸ் அ ஸ்தோத்ரம் ஆர் ஹிம், Praise of Lord, in praise of the Lord. And so, study of Dakshinamurti Stotram is equal to the study of Prasthanastrayam, all the Upanishads, the Brahma Sutras and the Bhagavad Gita, because the contents are same. And so, the one who wants to do Vedanta Shravana Manana Nidhyasanam, he can also do Dakshinamurti Stotra Shravana Manana Nidhyasanam. He doesn't have to do separately. Learning this itself serves that purpose. And if that gives Moksha Palam, this also again can give moksha palam. And so tena, therefore, since Dakshinamurti Stotram is equivalent to prasthanatrayam, asya shravanat, a seeker of moksha should do the shravanam of this work, systematic and consistent study for a length of time under the guidance of a competent teacher. If a person learns it, and not only shravanam, tadartha mananat, one should also do the mananam to find whether there are any doubts in accepting this teaching. Tadartha mananat. And what is the teaching? There is nothing other than me, the Atma. Sarvatmatvam. I am all. And then dhyanat. It has to be assimilated so that it becomes my very nature, second nature. So shravanam, mananam, nididhyasana sadhanas. And then what? Sankirtanat. Sankirtanat is given actually two meanings. For those who are not fit for Shravanam Mananam Nididhyasanam, because they don't have Sadhana Chatushtaya Sampattihi. If you remember all the fourfold qualifications for a person, for a Vedantic seeker. So everything, all these things, they go, whatever we said above. For those unprepared people, mere Parayanam itself, they will gradually grow by just reciting the shloka. They need not know even the meaning. Mere chanting will give sadhana chatushtaya sampatti, later opportunity for shravanam mananam nididhyasanam. And so even parayanam is a form of sadhana. And the second point is, on the other hand, if a person is a qualified person, that means he is sadhana chatushtaya sampannaha, he has been trained before he has done shravanam mananam nididhyasanam, for those people, what is the next sadhana? Sankirtana. Sankirtana means what? After I assimilate this, I communicate this to others. Sharing is another form of nididhyasanam. Always we mention, learning is complete only when we teach, when we share that knowledge with others. It's a very beautiful form because I get a wonderful opportunity to dwell upon the teaching without distraction. As a student, I need not concentrate for 1 hour. Digression is possible. When the teacher is teaching, we can momentarily switch off. Whereas for a teacher, that is not possible. From the first word to the last word, especially Vedanta means what? Absolute focus is needed. We cannot even wander for a second. So there is no better meditation because the very definition of meditation is dwelling upon the teaching without distraction. And that can be best achieved only when one attempts to teach. So vijatiyam, pratyayam, anantarita, sajatiyam, pratyaya, pravahaha. So these are all some words. So one of the best form of nididhyasanam is teaching. And so Shankaracharya says, sankirtanat. And when a student takes the teaching form of nididhyasanam, there is a byproduct also for that person. What is that? For the teacher, it becomes a sadhana, and for the student, it is a learning opportunity by which the parampara is maintained, the guru-sishya parampara is maintained. If all the jnanis remained only in the caves, let us say, quietly meditating upon without sharing any knowledge with anybody else, we would not have got this knowledge at all. They would be all happy themselves. And so it has got twofold benefits. Maintenance of the Guru Sishya Parampara also should be maintained. And by following all these sadhanas, he will get what result? Sarvatvatmam aham. See, vibhudisyat. He will attain the greatest glory called Sarvatmatvam, the wisdom that I am everything. There is no second thing to frighten me at all. There is nothing else in the world that could frighten me, hurt me, or limit me, isolate me. This non-dual status, that is called Sarvatmatvam. Sarvatmatvam is this non-dual status, which is Mahavibhuti, the greatest glory. That glory in Vedanta, it is called Kaivalyam, non-dual state. Not only that, if you look at the fourth line, Ashtada Parinatham Aishwaryancha. Ashtada Parinatham Aishwaryancha. Ashtamurti. Ashtamurti means Dakshinamurti Aikyam. Ashtamurti Dakshinamurti Aikyam. Eightfold, that is Ishwaratvam, the Dakshinamurti Bhavaha, which we just described. So, I will attain the status of Ashtamurti Dakshinamurti or Vishwarupa Dakshinamurti Aikyam. I can claim that I am the all-pervading Dakshinamurti. That is the phalam. So, Mayevam Sakalam Jatam Mayi Sarvam Pratishtitam Mayevam Layam Yati, as Krishna said. So, Ashtadam Parinatam Aishwaryam. Ashtamurti Dakshinamurti Aikyam. That's what it means. Some people actually, they translate this as Ashtamahasiddhi. People also translate Ashtamahasiddhi, various miraculous powers. Anima, Mahima, Mahima Chaiva, Lagima, Garima, Tata. So, Prapti, Prakamya, Ishitvam, Vashitvam, Ashtasiddhayaha. So, all these things are called great eightfold miraculous powers. This Jnani, he will get that also. So you can change the size to any size you want. You can become very small, you can become very, very big, you can become very light, you can become very heavy. So many things. Everybody, you can attract everyone, everybody will be attracted towards you. You can control everyone. All these are various siddhis, ashta siddhis. So a person will be endowed with all that also. Some people translate that way. So if that is the translation, then everyone will start studying Dakshinamurti Stotram to get those powers, possibly. And they will also wrongly conclude that every jnani should have miraculous powers. People, you know, if you translate it this way, people might tend to think that every jnani should have all these miraculous powers. We don't believe in all those things at all. It has nothing to do with miracles. Jnani does not include miracles. Without miracles, jnani is a jnani. And so it should be translated as oneness with the all-pervading Dakshinamurti. So this Ashtamurti does not have anything to do with the Ashtasiddhi or anything. So I just wanted to clarify so that people won't get any confusion. Not only that, in the third line, it says, Ishwaratvancha. He becomes a Swami, Ishwaraha, a master of everything. He is no more a Dasa. He is not a bound person anymore. A Dasa is a bound person. He is no more a bound person. He is a Swami. He is a Mukta Purushaha. He is free. He is no more affected by the world and its events. Whatever is happening in the world, he is not affected. Dukkeshum anudvignamanaha sukeshu vigataspraha. Krishna says, so varieties of situations may come and go. Birth will happen. Death happens. Money comes. Money goes. Position comes. Position goes. But those situations do not enslave me. I am unaffected by the events of life. So many things might happen. So, sama, dukkha, sukha, swastaha. For that person. So, sama, loshta, ashma, kanchanaha. All these were described by Krishna. So, this equanimity of outlook is called swamitva. When he says swami, that swamitva means the equanimity of outlook. And whoever does not have this equanimity is not swami, he is only aswami or asami. We call him asami, those people. So, jnani alone is Swami. And asami is so-and-so dukkhi. Asami is dukkhi. Swami is jnani. And Swami is so-and-so anandaha. So, he is ananda swarupaha. Dukkhi need not be added in the name. You look at the face, that is enough. We don't know to add, say, X is a dukkhi. By looking at his face, we know. This moksha also is called swataha. Has not come from outside. This moksha for this jnani, it does not come from outside for him, it is swataha, from himself, from his only. It is only the discovery of the very nature of the jnani, of himself. Swataha, natural freedom. That's what he claims. He claims his Brahmanhood. He claims his freedom. This is called Jivan Mukti. When a person gains this knowledge, it is Jivan Mukti, which will lead to Videha Mukti also after Prarabdha ends. Once the prarabdha ends, the body dies, and then he gets videha mukti also. He has no need to be born with another body. Which is the palam of Dakshinamurti Stotra, Sravanam, Mananam, Nididhyasanam. With this, the Dakshinamurti Stotram topic is over. Shankaracharya concludes this shloka. As I told, it is Dakshinamurti Ashtakam only, the first 8 shlokas. The later 2 shlokas, either Shankaracharya added later, or some other Acharya might have added, so that we don't know. But this is how the Dakshinamurti Stotram is structured and concluded.